for your word. Bless it. Use it tonight. Thank you for your house. Thank you, God, that you inhabit the praises of your people. Thank you, Lord, for those that are here tonight. They're increasing in their life. They're following after you. And God, you have great things ahead for them. I pray that the word of God will touch each heart, each life tonight, and do something that no human could do in their own strength. No man could speak or convince anyone, Lord, but I pray that by and through the power of your Holy Spirit tonight, that you would do a mighty work and you would be honored and you would be glorified in it. I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen. I want to just talk to you, share with you, teach just a little bit tonight. I will share quite a few scriptures. They're great scriptures. And if you have the ability to write some down, you'll benefit from it later. And I hope I get through what I have. I love this. John chapter 14. I want to just encourage you tonight in the area to believe. Next week, we're going to be sharing all through the week, moving up to not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday, having a service where we're going to pray for the sick and believe God to do great things in the hearts and the lives of people. I believe that he can do things that no one else. We had a meeting with some folks last night, and the lady had said that she was suffering greatly from this, I think she said it was fibromyalgia, and the medication for that and some other things was over $300 a month after her copay. And before she lived in this area, she went to a church in Wellsville, or no, it was Olean. I'll get it right after a while. It was in Olean. And she went to the altar one Sunday, and somebody laid hands on her and prayed for her, and God touched her life and healed her. And she never has had to take another pill for any of that ever again. Now, that's God's stuff right there. And those are the kind of things that I want to just encourage you. I want to encourage you to believe God. Trust him for great things, not only in your lives, in the lives of others. Believe God. Believe him to impart something into your life so that you can go and you can pray for those who are sick. You know what? You don't have to be perfect to pray for someone that's sick. We're going to get to that in just a moment tonight. And this isn't all about praying for the sick, but this, I want to encourage you. I want to build your faith up. And that's what I'm going to do for the next few weeks or few days and leading up to that following. I want to build your faith all the time. This isn't a one event experience. Jesus says this in John chapter 14 in verse 12. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you," look at this, "he who believes," and it would be really good to just get a practice of bringing your Bible, open it up, or some way where you can underline these things and just make a mess out of your Bible, even if you got to use elephant glue to hold it together. I bought a new Bible, and I don't like it. It's just something about Old Faithful here. I don't know what it is. A nice Bible, too, and I feel like I'm cheating on my Bible or something. I don't know. Anyways, "most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." Wow, what a statement. Man, if you got a Bible, you can underline it, circle. And look at this, "greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father." Jesus speaking. Verse 13, and it says, "and whatever you ask in my name," power right there, "that I will do." Not just for you, look at this, "that the Father may be glorified in the Son." See, when God does a great work, when God touches a life, when God heals a sick body, when somebody's heart is restored, when somebody is delivered from depression, when somebody is delivered from some kind of a habit in their life, when somebody is set free from a propensity to do evil and do wrong in their life, It's not just for them. It's that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so God is wanting and desiring and willing to do something in our lives, not just to help us, but that Jesus may be glorified and Jesus may be lifted up. Do you know that everything that we do, it's not for our benefit. It's for God to be glorified. Every person that serves in the church, if Brother Chuck was teaching that Bible study just for accolades of his own, in fact, I know he felt the most squirmish about tonight, about me saying what I did about him, than more than anyone did, because if he was doing it just for that, it wouldn't be worth a flop. But because he's doing it to bring glory to Jesus, it's worth everything. Oh, come on tonight. And it just doesn't mean that. Jeff's up in the sound booth. Paulie's up in the... If they're doing that because they think they have to or because somebody will give them credit for anything, it means absolutely nothing. You do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then he goes on in verse 14 one more time and he said, "And if you ask anything in my name, I'm going to do it." And I love what Ryan said. Thursday to Sunday, how about we start tonight and we just jump start our faith life and we begin to fast and we begin to pray. I mean, some people say, well, I got to give this up and I got to give that up. Come on, let's do it to get something greater. It's not that we bribe God. Okay, I'm fasting now, God, you got to do it. But it brings us closer into that relationship with him so that he can do in us what he is intended to do. And then he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper, Paraclete, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or it knows him. Oh, this is one of my favorite points right here, because sometimes new believers in particular, they have a hard time understanding that what's taking place in them, that not everybody embraces with just a welcoming attitude or spirit. The reality of it is, unless the Holy Spirit draws a person, they can't identify, they can't understand it. And the greatest testimony that we can give to others is not necessarily preaching to them, it's just living the life before them. Because they can't understand that the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But then he goes on to say, but you know him. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you know him. Come on, say it. You know him and he dwells with you and he will be in you. He not only comes alongside, Lord, be with me. Lord, you are in me. You are leading me. You're guiding me. And then he says in verse 18, and I'll not leave you like orphans. Once you make him Lord of your life, once he's the Lord and the master of your life, he doesn't just throw you out there on your own. He is in you. He's now leading you and guiding you. And the Spirit of Jesus who raised Christ from the dead dwells in your body and he'll quicken your mortal spirit. He'll bring alive. He'll bring truth and hope and life. And he'll cause you to begin to go into places of darkness and pray and see the darkness turned into light. Because he's in you now. And I believe in that. We're living in the season where he's prompting us to believe him for things that are greater than anything that we've seen heretofore. I just believe that. And it's not just for us. It's so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And we do this and we do everything so that we have this eternal connection to what he wants to manifest in and through us. And when he says greater, he's not just merely meaning something that's more sensational or that's going to have fireworks flying out. But Jesus is wanting his church, and the church is not a building. We are not committed to walls and ceilings and floors and carpets and chairs. The church is one another. When we come to church, we don't come to a building. We come to a people because we are committed to one another. You're the church, and I need you, and you need me. And when we come to the church, we come to one another. We're committed to one another. And Jesus has brought us His Holy Spirit that's living inside of us, that we can be victorious and we can be strong, and we don't have to cower down when the enemy comes up against us, but we can stand in faith and strength in the power of the Holy Spirit and see Him run. The enemy come against us in one way, the Bible says, but he'll flee from us in seven different ways. And Christ has come not only to bring the power of forgiveness in our lives, but also to bring deliverance from strongholds in our lives. Oh, this is good. The power to deliver us from a stronghold in our lives. I was on the radio just a little bit ago, and we're doing this thing with WDCX and Kingdom Bound, weight loss thing, eating right. And I was talking, as I was talking, I realized that food has been a stronghold in my life. Has anybody ever had that issue in their lives? Come on, be honest with you. Don't leave me hanging out here alone. A stronghold in my life. And I know why, too. When I was a kid, we didn't have anything to eat. And so I grew up, when food came, we had to rush to it because we might not get any more. And little did I know, all through my life, that has been a stronghold. But Jesus has come not only to deliver us from strongholds, drug addiction, alcohol, negative things in our life. He's even come to help deliver us from addictions like this that the world says are okay. In fact, the church even, I mean, we're guilty of this. But God has come to give us strength and power and to help us to overcome everything that gives and brings hindrances into our lives. Listen to me. Acts 10:38. Jesus, the Bible says, went about doing good, and he healed all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. Not some. He did it to all. 1 John 3:8, the Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he may destroy the works of the devil. This is the power of Jesus. And remember, this power is inside of you and I. Luke 10:19, he says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents, on scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Doesn't mean that stuff won't come against you. But when we're living in that dimension of the power of God's Holy Spirit, He gives us this authority that when the evil comes to us, when tragedy comes and tries to creep us on it, we can speak to that thing. And I'm not saying that we'll not have troubles or tragedy or difficulty in our lives, but I think sometimes we roll over too quick and we let the enemy have his way in our life. Come on, is anybody listening to me? Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power. I give you that power. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You and I can do it. We can get past it. And I read this scripture a couple of weeks ago. I've been on this. I've been reading this a lot in Mark chapter 9 and verse 16. This is that same story I shared a couple of weeks ago. And the Bible says that Jesus came up on some that were talking. And he says, what are you talking about? What are you arguing about? Jesus asked them. He says, a man in the crowd answered, said, teacher, I brought you my son. He was possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. And Jesus said, you all unbelieving generation. You unbelieving generation. Didn't say anything. He just said, you're unbelieving. I've given you all these things. You're not believing. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And they brought him, and the spirit saw Jesus, and then immediately it threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground. He rolled around foaming at the mouth, and Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? He said, from childhood. It's often thrown him into the fire or the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can, everything is possible for him that believes. And the boy's father said, I do believe. I need you to help me with this area of unbelief. And isn't this where we find ourselves? We're challenged by earthly doubt when we're facing things because we really believe like people around us. We're affected by the people who we associate our lives with. It changes the beliefs in our heart when we become satiated with those relationships that have no faith to believe God for the supernatural. Listen to this verse of Scripture, Mark chapter 2. Another familiar verse of Scripture, and I love this. Again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Jesus was in the house, and immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them, and they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. I want you to remember that, four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was so that when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus saw their faith and he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Even before he did anything miraculous. I want to pose this to you tonight when we talk about those who are around you that bring you up or pull you down. Because who is around you in your life has influence on how you're going to live, how you're going to act, how you're going to believe, and what you're going to believe for. If you got a bunch of chickens with you soaring or living around you, don't ever think you're going to soar like an eagle. The best you'll do is just pluck like them chickens. These four men had something working in them that believed God for this man to be healed. The crowd would not let him in, even though he was in great need. The crowd didn't even hinder what the four of them were going to do. I like friends around me like that. I like men and women around me like that, that will believe God when I can't believe for myself. I tell you, I've been at some pretty low spots in my life, and I've had some people come around me that said, "You can do it. You can get through that. This isn't nothing. You're going to overcome this. You're going to get beyond that." And I'm going to tell you, it was the difference between me going on and me staying stuck. And if you don't have the right people around you that will encourage you and bring you up and speak faith into your life and for you then to receive it, you'll never see the promise that God has for you. Because these four, they went even beyond the normal. I want to ask you tonight, do you have any friends like that? That if you were in a serious situation, that you got at least four that will maybe not physically pick you up, but they'll pray for you. They'll stand with you. And listen, you can't just stand over in a corner and expect, "Well, I wonder what four are going to come to me." No, you got to get out and you got to find them. And you got to associate. You got to connect with them. And you got to stand strong with them for them to have the help in your life that you need when you need it. And I want to just ask you, do you have friends that are standing strong with you, expecting, believing for miracles in your life? Or do you just have acquaintances with you? Because if you don't have somebody standing and believing for a miracle in your life, you're going to be awful lonesome. And when you're out there and when things are going wrong, you're going to be stuck on your own. Man, there's nothing worse than being stuck on your own. So Jesus comes. He looks at the young man who is paralytic. He's laying there, letting him down. And Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." Didn't even talk to him about his sickness. Because the reality of it is, unless a man is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. This is the first thing that God's concerned about. But then the Bible goes on to say, and I love this. And some of the scribes, the religious people, in verse 6, were sitting there and they were reasoning in their hearts. I don't do good with people that live by reason. We need reason. We need sound wisdom. But sometimes people go overboard with that. Are you hearing me tonight? They're sitting there reasoning in their heart. Verse 7, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" I love this. This is just this attitude that Jesus has that I just love. In verse 8, it says, "Immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit." He didn't even have to hear it. He sensed it in his spirit. "That they reasoned thus with themselves." And he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. Verse 10, look at it. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. See, when he said to the young man, your sins are forgiven, they were forgiven, and heaven knew it. But the people around him didn't. They needed a sign. And he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately, he arose, he took up his bed, and he went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed, and there it is again, and they glorified God, saying, we ain't never seen nothing like this before. Amen. Never saw anything like this. I'll never forget being in Kenya. Something about being in another country. People don't have all the amenities that Americans do. You get sick in some of those places in Africa, and you die unless God comes through. And I'll never forget a good friend of mine, Dale Everett. He has a healing ministry. He got up on that platform, and somebody brought up this man. When he walked up there, he was walking like this. He had one leg that was like 3 or 4 inches shorter. Now, I got to tell you, I've never seen it before. I've heard about it. I've never seen it before. He didn't just pray for him and tell him, go your way. He says, bring a chair out, set the man right up here, as many as you want to, gather right around, because God is going to give us some miracles. I'm thinking to myself, if God doesn't come through, I'm packing my bag tonight. I'm out of here, because they're going to put a stick through us and roast us on a fire later. Sure enough, he brings this man up here, sits him in that chair. He has two people hold up his legs. I'm standing right there over. He says, come on up and look. And you got, there's 4,000 or 5,000 people in the crowd. There's 75 people right around, and they're standing over and looking. He's praying. He says, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this leg. God, this man's leg is short. I don't know everything he prayed for, but he believed God. And as I stood there, I saw that man's leg grow out till he got up and he just started walking normal. I mean, I'm telling you, that's the power of God. Come on. Isn't that beautiful? And people were like, oh my gosh, we never saw anything like this. Mark chapter 9 verse 19 says, oh unbelieving generation. He's speaking to a culture that has lost its ability to believe. And I'm going to tell you tonight, it's not the world that Jesus is speaking this to. He's speaking it to the church, that we've lost the ability to really believe God, because we go through things. We pray for people, and for whatever reason, God takes them home, and we think, well, God, he doesn't do that. I'm here to tell you tonight that God has a plan. He heals, he delivers, he sets free. He'll do it for us. We will see the power of Jesus come alive in the house of God. I believe it with all of my heart. How many of you believe that? Amen. He says, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? He said, bring the boy to me. We have to believe God. We need a balance of people in and around our life that will believe God for the impossible. Amen. Believe him for the impossible. We must be so careful about who has that ability to influence our life. 2 Corinthians 6:14, 15 says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Nothing. Now, he doesn't say that you're not going to have friendships or relationships. We need to go into the world. We need to create some relationships. But he says, be careful about being yoked up together. Be careful about having that real close fellowship with unbelievers. We need people in our lives that don't believe so that we can have influence on them. But we don't need the unbeliever influencing us. We need to influence them. Amen? We need to have that influence. This man also thought that God was unpredictable. The Bible says in Mark 9, 22 and 23 that it's thrown him into the fire, into the water to kill him. But he says, if you can do anything, take pity and help us. He had engaged in this mindset of, well, maybe God will, but maybe he won't. What God does or doesn't do in a time frame of what we think he should do, that's up to him. But he never called us not to believe him to do miracles. You would not believe for somebody to get saved, even if they came in and they didn't give their heart to Jesus. You would still believe for that person to give their life to Christ, right? Wouldn't you? Amen? And we still need to believe God, believe him. I'm telling you what, I'll believe God if I die before my time. I'd rather die, go out believing him for a miracle and stand before him and say, well, Lord, here I am. I thought you were going to meet me here, but hey, here I am. Rather than dying and him saying, you know, what up? You didn't even ask me to do something powerful in your life. Hello, are you listening to me about that tonight? Psalm 10:1, why, O Lord, do you stand afar off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? David dealt with that. Can you do anything for me? But the answer is, yes, he can. So I want to ask you, do we really believe? Because the boy's father in Mark 9:24, he said, I do believe, but you got to help me to overcome this attitude that I keep locked up in the upper corner of my brain and my heart. I do believe, but I got to leave enough room for, if you don't come through, well, then I can explain it away. And he never says that. It's not our business. We are to believe God and trust him right until the end. No matter come what may, believe him for something supernatural. James 1:6. When he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts, he's like a wave of the sea, blown, tossed by the wind. And this is what he goes on to say, James. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Because he's a double-minded man. And he's not even double-minded. He's unstable in all his ways. We need to have this passionate pursuit that we are going to believe God come what may. Hebrews 11:1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't even see. Faith isn't seeing it. Faith is believing what we can't see. Faith causes us to be sure and certain. Faith is not based on the outcome. Faith is not what I can do, but what he can do in us and through us. Why? To glorify Jesus before the Father. Bring glory to God. So, let me wrap it up. Number one, you have authority in your life that comes through the name of Jesus Christ. Mark 9:25-27 in New International. When Jesus saw the crowd running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. He said, you deaf, you mute spirit. He said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. I just love that. The Bible doesn't say he screamed it. He didn't spit it. He just said the words. Jesus models here for you and I spiritual warfare. He said, I command you, come out of him and don't go in him again. Jesus is bigger than our problem, than our depression, than our sickness, than cancer, than relational issues, than brokenness. He's bigger than all that. The Bible says in verse 26, the spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and it came out. Bam! The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. I'll never forget, I've told this story before. I'll tell you, and some of you, I don't want to freak any of you out. I don't know how else to say it. I've seen this happen before. I don't get up and I'm not looking for a demonic spirit to come out. I'm not looking at people. I know some people, they have this ministry and every person they look at, it's like, you got a devil in you. As if you got one in you, it's coming out before we leave. That's not me. But we've had people in this church, they've come here and the Lord has just quickened my heart that they've had some dealing with the occult. They've opened their life up. And I'm going to tell you tonight, If you're here and that's been a part of your life, before you leave tonight, you come down. I'll pray for you. And God, I know He'll deliver you. I've seen Him deliver people. They've opened their life up to Ouija boards and all sorts of occult practices. And the enemy has come in and lodged in their life. And it's been a stronghold in their life that's had an effect on every area of their life. Now hear me. When that happens in a person's life, the enemy just doesn't tap you on the shoulder and say, I'm just going to ride on your shoulder for a while. Oh, no. He comes in, and he don't come in just to hang around. He comes in to destroy your life. John 10:10, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. You know, when Ryan was talking tonight, my dad used to tell us this, and, you know, he's talking about, you listen to country music, you know, God help you. I mean, it'll be okay. It's not going to send you to hell or anything like that. And I'm even going to say this to you. Even if you're convinced that you want to have a drink of alcohol, a drink won't. But I'm going to tell you what it will do. It'll open up a door. And that if you don't have the ability to walk back out of that, it'll suck you in like a vacuum. And some of you know what I'm talking about tonight. You know what I'm saying is true. And the enemy doesn't come in just to play a little bit. He comes in to take over your life. And we've seen it here. And when I was in Africa, one of the first experiences, we went into a small town. It was an alcoholic town. I've never seen anything like it. There was demonic manifestations. And they told me, they said, now, Pastor Marty, when you go home, they told a whole group of us, you want to be careful telling people this because, number one, they're not going to believe you. Number two, they're going to think you're crazy. And a lot of the stories I've never told about. But this reminds me of this. The Bible says the spirit shrieked and convulsed and violently came out. Because the enemy, once he gets in a life, he's just, it's not a patty cake little experience that you could just say, okay, I'm done with you now. I'm just going to live this way. No. These things, they come out only one way. Through prayer and fasting and by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, they'll come out. And when we were in there, and all of a sudden, these manifestations of these evil spirits and these people, crazy, evil, and they were people in the crowd, they were bringing them up on the platform because they wanted all of us to cast out these evil spirits. I've never been around anything in that mind. I'm not kidding you. There wasn't one. There wasn't five. There were 25 foaming at the mouth, screaming. I mean, it was crazy. I'm out of my element. And I'm looking at this other guy. He's looking at me. And I've never been in this before. And one of the leaders that was with us, he said, you better get praying for those people and cast them demons out. Well, I didn't know what to do, but I did what Jesus did. In the name of Jesus, come out. And all of a sudden, I could tell you, I could take 45 minutes and tell you things that we saw that many of you may not even believe. But I'm going to tell you, by the end of that night, those people were walking away, they were saved, and the Spirit of the Lord was now guiding them and leading them for the glory of God. Amen. I'm going to close on that. I just sense in my heart tonight, this could be one of those moments in night for somebody. There's a stronghold of something in your life. Ryan and I didn't talk about it earlier. We didn't have anything. Sometimes people just hold before you even play, Debbie, because I want you to hear this. Sometimes people live with that all their life. They play. They just play the church thing. They never get free of those evil, demonic strongholds that are in a life. And Jesus, I want you to know, He's come to set each of us free from that tonight. I want you just to close your eyes. Brother Chuck, just come on up here and stand with me. Oh, I believe God to do something tonight. Go ahead, Debbie. Just very gently tonight. Before you leave tonight, if somebody needs prayer for something, I want to believe God even tonight. Sickness in your body, anything that's plaguing you. Brother Chuck Venditti, come on up here too. Yes, Lord. Ryan, come on up here and stand next to us too. We praise your holy name, God. We're going to pray, anoint you with oil. If there's sickness, something in your body. And I just also know that when I was talking about that occult stuff tonight, the Spirit of God quickened in my heart and my spirit that somebody here tonight, that's been a part of your life. And as funny as it may have seemed at the time, the enemy has come in and he's just gravitated. He's taken over. You know, there's no peace in your life. The enemy right now may be trying to talk you out of this. Don't you listen to him. Let the power of Jesus tonight, if that's you, let him set you free. I'm going to close in prayer, but then the four of us are going to stay up here. Pray for you if you're sick. Pray for you that if you're in a place in your life where the enemy is wreaking havoc on you, thank you, God. He wants to set you free tonight. Father, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Mighty God. Who am I talking to now? Who is the Spirit of God talking to? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's no power in any one of us men up here. There's power in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray and I'm going to close. If you need prayer, there's sickness in your body. There's a stronghold in your life. If the occult in any way has been a part of your life, before you leave, there's no condemnation. There's no shame. There's shame if you leave and carry it with you, but not if you give it to him. I didn't plan any of this tonight, but the Lord did. So, Father, I'm going to close in prayer. And then if that's you, sickness, any kind of oppression over your life, before you leave, come on up here. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Sets the captives totally free. We believe you, God, tonight together. Lord, for those who are sick, you said, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church to anoint them with oil. And the prayer of faith, he shall save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's even committed sin, they'll be forgiven. I pray that tonight, I pray in this moment, that God, you will do what only you can do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Thank you for it. Everybody said amen. That's you. Come right now. Quickly come. Don't wait a minute. I love all of you. Go in God's grace and his peace. But if that's any one of you sick in your body, oppressed, you'd open up your life to something demonically in the past, God's going to help you, set you free from it tonight. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come around, guys.